I'm Katie and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This is episode 13, and this week I'm talking to Lindsay from Rainbows and Wellies on Instagram. We talk about home educating an only child and how home edding can provide a safe environment for an autistic child, both to learn in a way that suits them and to get the degree of socialisation that feels comfortable to them, in comparison to the Coke bottle effect. We also chat about finding your groove when you're unexpectedly home educating, through community and time spent reflecting on the things that are working. And now, on with the episode. This week, I'm talking to Lindsay, who is at Rainbows and Wellies on Instagram. Hello, thank you very much for coming onto the show.
Hi, thank you, Katie, for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, thank you. Right, first question, tell me a bit about your family.
Okay, so we're a small family, which can be quite unusual in the home education world, I've discovered, but we're just a family of three. So there's just me, hubby, and a little lady who's 7 years old.
So, excellent. Do you know other people around you who are home education learn children?
No. I don't actually, I'm trying to think, no. No others were just only's, no.
Yeah, I didn't. I know a family who were going to. And then the kid went, yeah. No, I went to go to school. So they didn't.
Isn't it? No, now you ask. No, I don't actually. I was thinking on social media, I don't. But locally, no, not even.
Oh, actually, do you know what? That's not true. I do know at least one family who've been happily home educating. I mean, I don't know people who've been unhappily home educating, but you know what I mean? Who just have one son. And they've been doing that. They've been doing that for about 5 years now. So I do know somebody actually.
Oh, there we are. We're not the only ones.
You're definitely not the only ones. No, it's true. So how did you start home educating? How and why?
Well, that's a bit of a different story for probably a lot of people who I come across now who've chosen to home educate. And it's not we didn't, but our daughter actually went to school nursery. She went to school nursery at 3 years old in the local village next to ours. And we put her in there with the whole plan of she would go on to the school, hopefully, because they were a feeder school for a good high school. Yeah. So that was always the plan, really, because she was an only child. Everyone had said to us, you know, she needs to socialise. She needs other children around her. And I was an only child and I was always around other kids because I went to school, so did my husband. So I thought, well, of course, yes, yeah. That makes sense. You know, I didn't think anything other, so off she went. And yeah, she went to nursery and loved it. And I had no idea home education actually existed at all. You see, I was a primary school teacher before I had her.
Right.
So I've been in that world of education from I started school right till I gave up my career when she was born 7 years ago. So that was the only world I knew. So yeah, so she went to nursery. We applied for the school. It was a bit touch and go, we thought, because it was a church school, and although we attend a church, not the church attached to school, because we live in a different village, and also it was very oversubscribed and we went in the catchment area, but thank goodness she got in. Mm-hmm. And she went into the reception class in September 2016, so a good few years ago now. But during the time she was in nursery, we'd been called in because they'd noticed some unusual behaviours that had been going on, or reactions. And it transpired, well, as soon as they told me that, I kind of knew, being a teacher, what they were getting at. I knew they were getting at autism. And I'd seen a few traits that I thought might be the case, but my husband was very much like, we're first-time parents, you know.
Yeah.
Probably just overthinking it, you know, it's probably just a normal stage of her development, and I hadn't dealt with that age of development before, you know, being a primary school teacher. She was like 2-3, so yeah, I just sort of ignored it. But anyway, they called in the educational psychologist, speech and language, we had to see the doctor and refer to paediatricians. And during her time in the nursery for that year before she joined the reception class, we went through the diagnostic pathway for autism. So we knew by then that she, the educational psychologist and all the others had told us they believed she was on it, but she didn't actually get her diagnosis till she was in that autumn term in reception class.
So
she was okay, no, she had these blips and these moments, but she pretty much enjoyed going. She often had a tummy ache in the morning, which we could never really find any cause for. We did wonder if it was anxiety, but, you know, she was little.
Yeah.
It was still all very new to her. So, you know, we kind of, the teachers were fantastic in the nursery, I have to say. They were brilliant. They really were. And so we just assumed when she went into the reception class, it would all plod along nicely. However, that didn't quite work, unfortunately. She had a newly qualified teacher who'd only just joined the school for that September. So a little lady, I'd only met her once for about a couple of hours, maybe maximum, during the summer term. So she was not a face she'd seen around the school. She didn't know her. She was very young. I mean, I've been there. I was an NQT once. It's tough, really tough. And she was thrown into reception class, which is tough. There were quite a few kids with additional needs. So, you know, it was a hard job for a new teacher to come into. But it just meant that they didn't quite know in the class how to help little lady. She was really struggling academically. She's very bright. She's now what would be classed as, well, would have been classed in the past as Asperger's.
Right.
They don't obviously diagnose that now. It's just autistic spectrum disorder. So she was bright. So as far as they were concerned, she was academically doing fine. So she didn't need any support at all, really. It took a lot of fighting to get any little bit of support that we did, which was just at the end of the day, getting her out of school before everybody descended on the playground, and helping her in the morning, just getting her transitioning in and out of school. But that was it. And she has sensory processing disorder as well. And also she's got low muscle tone and hypermobility. So she tires easily. She found it very overwhelming, but she was a trooper. She coached. Aww. She smiled through. She didn't show any of the troubles really in class. But she was anxious, she was confused, and she'd come out, and I'm sure people listening will have heard of the what they call the Coke bottle effect, particularly with girls on the spectrum, which is where they, during the day, they hold it all in, and it's like a bottle being shaken every time there's a loud noise or there's something they don't understand. It's like someone's got the bottle and shook it and just kept shaking all day. And then they come out of school and they get into the arms of the ones they love, who they feel safe and secure with, and it's like you've undone the top and whoosh.
Oh, man.
All the feelings come out, all the anxieties, everything. And that was every night. And it was happening in the playground before she left school, then in the car on the way home, and then at home. And some nights she wasn't getting to sleep till 12 o'clock at night because she was just so not traumatized, but it just to come down again was so difficult. It's just too much for her battling all the homework they expected for reception kids. So anyway, long story short, I'm going around the houses. Long story short, she had a couple of panic attacks, and I was starting to sort of worry about how we'd keep managing this with school. And I understand school didn't have the funding because so many kids in the class needed support. And I'd remembered I'd seen a friend from when I was at school on Facebook that she was home educating her son who was the same age. And I thought, oh, didn't know you could do that. That's interesting. So as these problems were occurring, I asked her some questions and started doing my own research. And I love research. And I'm one of those people that research everything to death. To get anything done, I just do a lot of research.
Yeah.
You know, so I did that, and I discussed it with my husband, said, you know, this could be an option, this could be better for her, you know, we can maybe provide an environment that suits her better, because we talked about special schools, but that wasn't going to work either. She kind of falls down the crack of, she doesn't fit in mainstream and she doesn't fit in special schools, so doesn't really fit anywhere. So anyway, he'd listened and he'd thought about it, and he said, well, you know, when we get to the end of reception year, if she's still not doing any better, then we can think about it for year one. Maybe we should do it then.
Yeah.
She came home for the Christmas holidays and she changed. She went back to the little girl that we knew before, you know, the little girl who was happy, and, you know, she had her difficulties, you know. Autism just doesn't disappear, but she just was happier, and there weren't the meltdowns and the, yeah. And then she got chicken pox, would you believe, her she'd had friends around over Christmas, and one of the little kids had chicken pox, but we hadn't known at the time.
Yeah.
So she got it on New Year's Day, would you believe, and she had it pretty nastily, and it took a long time to scab over. So she didn't go straight back to school when everyone else did in the January.
Yeah.
She had another sort of 9 days off because she was so poorly.
Wow.
And she just kept getting happier and happier, even though she had chicken pox. She was scratching, or you know, feeling like scratching to death, but she was so happy. And I turned to my husband one night when she'd gone to bed, and I said, I can't send her back.
Yeah.
I can't send her back. If she goes back, it's on your head, because I can't put her back in school. Mm-hmm. And that was it. He kind of was like, well, I haven't got much of a choice here. and I think because I've been a teacher, he felt a bit more confident in that I could do it and give it a go. And so January 2017, we went into school, talked to the head, because, you know, we'd, although they hadn't been able to support her fully, it had been a good school. So we felt, out of respect for the head, we wanted to go in and not just send the letter in, but actually hand it in and talk to her and explain what we were doing and why. And it wasn't on them, it was on us and what we needed for her. And so, so we were one of those families that maybe some people would say we were kind of not kicked out the system, but pushed out by the fact the provision wasn't there. But it was the decision that we made, and we did do our research. We probably weren't quite ready. We could have done with that bit longer, but we made that decision, and I'd make it 10 times over again. So that's why we home educate in a long-winded way.
No, that's excellent. That's really good. I guess the problem is my question, and it's not even a question, the statement is, it must have affected the day-to-day home life to have a child who is so stressed in their school environment, but they can't express it until they get home.
Yes.
But I don't want to put words into your mouth, I guess.
No, it is.
There's a pop inflection at the end that says, is that true, I guess?
It is. Massively affects home life. You know, there was no that feeling of having family time.
Yeah.
That time when she got home, when maybe we could have sat and done things together, played a game, done a jigsaw, painted a picture, all those kind of things.
Yeah.
Just didn't happen anymore. You know, she went to her after school activity still, because she's always danced since she was 2.5. And she had swimming lessons. And by then she was playing the piano. She had piano lessons. So we got to those. But that was kind of the only thing we managed to do. So, it did massively affect our home life. Massively. And that was one of the reasons as well, I guess, for picking it, was to get our family life back, our family dynamic that had been a happy, you know, fun time, now was just managing and trying to support her, you know. So it had changed things totally, and it was tough.
It must have been. So what do you love about home education?
I think that's one of the toughest questions.
Really?
Yeah, because I love everything about it. To try and pinpoint what exactly, you know, like without going on forever, like I've just done on my last question. I love pretty much everything about it. I suppose because the career I chosen was teaching.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the career I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Home education is the career I thought teaching would be. And I know that sounds crazy, somebody teaching one child, not 30. And I always knew I was going to teach 30, but I'm teaching.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not actually teaching, because I'm more facilitating, I suppose, really.
Yeah.
But there's no paperwork and bureaucracy and silly meetings about meetings. And it's just... I don't know, doing what I always wanted to do, I suppose. So for me, it's a real passion and a real love. And so, I suppose I love the freedom and the flexibility of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's massive for us, because my husband works shifts. So for us, we didn't get a lot of time, even that short time she was at school, and family life was so affected anyway by her.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he was only off, or he is only off, 2 weekends in 10.
Wow, okay.
So for us, getting that actual full time at the weekend didn't really happen anyway. So we've got that back.
Yeah.
And so that gives us so much flexibility and freedom, because when he's off in the week, mm-hmm. which he often is,
yeah,
it's perfect. You know, we can go and spend a few days away, or, you know, we love to travel. So I guess home education for us has given us that ability to travel more, because we don't have to worry about the crowds and the prices and all those things. And, you know, so particularly for little lady with her sensory processing and all that, being in busy spaces isn't good. So, yeah. And I don't know, I love watching her discover new things.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch your kids, suddenly something clicks, they can make a connection between something, and you didn't do it for them.
Yeah.
They did it themselves. It's just like, that floors me, and that just makes all the days where you're tearing out your hair and thinking, I just need a break, and I need to, you know, I need a shower in peace, and, you know, where did that time go to just go and do the supermarket shop without being on a real schedule, you know, but that just makes it so worthwhile. So, yeah, I suppose it's that. And being able to spend a lot of time outdoors, that's another one. So, yeah, I suppose that's what I love.
So what's the hardest part?
I think it's been struggling to find our sort of style, I suppose, as you call it, of home education, or and our rhythm, what works for us.
Yeah.
You know, I see so many different ways to do it. Even when I think about the community around us locally, everybody does it so differently.
Yeah.
And everybody has their own views on how it should be done. And I suppose
that's always a scary one.
And I don't want to tip too far into that and, you know, say anything I should. But I think that was my problem, because I hadn't maybe, this hadn't been our plan from when she was born, or when we started to think about preschool, nursery or school. I had done some research in that very short period of time, but it wasn't a lot. And I guess I didn't know enough other home educators. I just knew this one girl I'd been at school with. I didn't have enough people to ask, how does it work, or what do you do, and how do you find it? And so I was thrown into it and kind of just worked it out as we went along at first, but then thought, oh, do you know what? Social media is a great place for all this kind of information. Wow. That was the death of me, because I then started using Instagram more, and then following loads of people on Instagram, and they'd all been doing it for years, and, you know, they lived in America and their climate was different and their homes are so much bigger, and I started to compare, as we all know can happen. And then that's when I kind of really found it tough, because what I have been doing, I started questioning, even though I was doing that out of pure what was working for our family, not about any styles I'd heard of or what anybody else was doing. I just kind of at first got on with just doing it.
Yeah.
But then I started to overthink it. And then I started to, as I say, compare with all these other families that were probably 10 years down the line that had it all sussed. And I just keep changing everything. So we've tried every style, from unit studies to unschooling to very structured sit down workbook to, yeah, everything. And that's been the hardest part for me, constantly changing it up, because I think it's not working, or if it didn't work for a day, then it must be going all wrong and start
everything in the bin. Today didn't work.
Yeah.
I know that one. And there's always the next thing that you see.
Yes.
That you go, oh, even if, like, you know, you just go, oh, but we could do that as well, or we could do that instead of this thing.
Oh, it's like a bin of magpie, isn't it? It's completely. Oh, new shiny thing. Oh, we've got to get that. And you can see my husband's face, like, really? Like, what was wrong with what you were doing? Well, it didn't work today. Yeah, but isn't that just one day? And, like, don't we all have days where things don't go? No, that's it. It's just not working for him. Because of her autism and stuff like that, things, she does throw me curveballs a lot. So yeah. I just assume that's me getting it wrong and the style's wrong and this is wrong. And yeah, so that's been a hard part.
I was going to say, did you find that when you were trying lots of different things, there were things that stuck, that you'd sort of little bits and pieces from?
Yeah, I think there were. And sometimes you don't notice those, do you? You kind of keep doing them.
Yeah.
But you don't notice and you don't celebrate the fact that actually, do you know what? They're working.
Yeah.
And maybe I need to think about why do those work and be a bit more reflective. And I think it was only sort of probably the end of last sort of calendar year, so the end of 2018, that I really sat down and reflected and went, maybe I should look at what does work. So yeah, there were things like reading aloud, that's always stuck. We've always read to her, always, since she was born and before, even when I was pregnant. But so that stuck, and getting outside stuck. You know, we live right by the beach, we're a 5-minute walk from the beach, so we've got sand dunes at the end of the road, which is just perfect. So you know, they stuck. And what else stuck? I mean, her reading, she's a real avid reader. You know, she was reading early. She just reads and reads and reads and reads and retains this knowledge and loves to share it, which is great. So yeah, things did stick along the way that we did kind of keep in there. I just wish that I'd kind of stopped and reflected sooner,
yeah,
so that I'd kind of realized what did and didn't work and stopped making an absolute mess, you know.
I don't know. I mean, I think that you know, we have the space, particularly in the sort of primary years, we have the space to try stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, and if it doesn't work, well, we kind of learn from that and it's not wasted time.
Very
do you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah,
and I think I don't know. I like to think that no matter how long people have been home educating, because the needs of the child and the needs of the teenager, I guess, if you just, you know, as you carry on, changes over time, like you always have that a bit of fear of missing out. You always have that, well, that person looked like they're doing it really well. Maybe we'll do it like that for a bit and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And you just kind of teach, you know, so unfortunately, I don't think that stops.
Another like how many years to go.
But I think you say about reflecting, it's like being conscious that it's probably not going to stop.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And I think that makes it get easier.
Yeah, and I think also you have to realize that, you know, at school there's so much they don't learn.
Yeah,
you know, when I think now what we're doing together, there's loads of stuff I'm learning that I never covered in school, you know, in the time from primary school right through to university, never covered it. And you think, so sometimes I think we put too much pressure on ourselves as home educating parents that we've got to do it all, because I suppose it's that feeling of, because we're kind of a minority in the community and there is always this sort of magnifying lens on us, that we've got to prove that we can do it and almost do it better, even though I don't necessarily think school's a bad thing. It works for some and not for others. You know, it's everybody's own choice. But I think sometimes we do put a lot of pressure on ourselves because we know the responsibility's on us. We can't turn around and blame anyone else later on. You know, I certainly have that thing if I don't ever want her to turn around and go, well, you know, you didn't do this or that. But then you have to look at it as, well, we can't do everything.
No.
You know, it's possible.
And I guess it's about, I mean, I guess, you know, the old chestnut is that you're learning how to learn, you know, and I guess I think about the amount of things that we've had to learn as adults, particularly, you know, like our sort of generation, you know, I don't know how old you are, but like our sort of a generation.
I think we're similar.
I think we're probably similar without having to say any ages, where we grew up without computers.
Yes.
And then reached, you know, our teens and our late teens, and suddenly the computer world exploded around us, and we were, of course, primed to want to be involved in all of that stuff. But most of it we had to teach ourselves.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And it's that's the big thing for us. We want to make sure, as long as she knows how to learn, you know, and that she has this passion that she wants to learn and that learning will continue throughout her life, then, it is a massive thing of just, you know, letting letting the rest go, really.
Yeah.
It's, I suppose some people say follow the, what is it? Something to do with, you know, worry about the following the process and, you know, forget about the outcome, because yeah. you can't determine that as yet.
No.
So, yeah.
So, is there anything that you've... Oh, okay, well, I guess you've answered the next question, really, but that's all right. No, because that was good. That's context, and it was good. I was going to say, is there anything that you've done that made the hard thing easier? But I guess the reflection.
Yeah, I think that was a big thing of it. I think also remembering that social media, particularly Instagram, is a highlight reel, you know, of people's lives, you know, sometimes being so sucked into that, oh, you know, their life's so wonderful and they fit in this and that. And it's remembering, you know, and it, I daily have to remind myself, if I'm going to go on there today, it is just someone's highlight reel. Their day will probably have gone as badly as mine in points, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, so don't take that as like word on how their life is, I suppose. And also realizing that, as you say, these primary years, we can take our time, we can work it out. It that's the beauty of this. We have the time to work it out.
Yeah.
And I suppose finding a community as well, that's really helped. I suppose locally, but also online, finding a community that follow a similar style now that we feel we're finding our sort of feet and finding something that suits us.
Yeah.
Finding people that are similar to us, you know, online as well, so that I have people to bounce things off late at night when I'm having a panic and a meltdown myself, you know. So,
well, it's having people who get it, because yes. I think you know, you can say to another home educator, you know, you can be honest with them and you can say to them, oh my god, like, you know, whereas if you say that to, I don't know, a parent, you know, like your parents or whatever, they'd be like, well, it's probably the home education that's the problem.
Yes.
Do you know? I suddenly have to justify doing it, because if, yes. if you've had a bad day, well, if you put them into school, then you wouldn't have this problem.
And then, as you say, you're having to justify, and you already felt bad enough as it was. Yeah. You came for reassurance, not to have to then start a whole of the conversation. Yes.
Whereas
totally.
You can have a grumble with another home ed parent and they get it. And also maybe they can, you know, like they can sort of, if it, you know, they can kind of gently suggest, well, okay, either like, well, I don't think you should worry about that because it's fine. Or like, well, why don't you try this thing?
Yeah.
And kind of point you in different directions that you might not have thought of, or, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Spot on.
Thank goodness, frankly.
Yes, I know.
Thank God we're not doing it on our own completely.
I know. I mean, the people that did it before, you know, technology, before computers, I don't know how they did it, you know, how they found other people that were home educating. What do you do? Go stand in the street and say, excuse me, I home educate. Does anybody else do it? You know?
The fact that we have social media.
Yes, I know. Right, they look like they should be school age. They must be home educating. Although I have to admit, I do that sometimes when we're places.
I was going to say exactly. Yeah, we did it. Yeah, we've done that exactly the same thing.
I think, they must be. Let's go and talk.
We once did that in Bristol Aquarium. And I got all shy. And so I kind of nudged my son, who I think was my eldest, he was about 8 at the time. I mean, 7 or 8. I said, that kid's about your age. Go and ask him if he's home educated. And my kid just done bad. He's just like, yeah, okay, well, fine. I'll do that then. And they were.
Oh, your instinct was right. But yeah, isn't that funny how we'll send the kids? It's like, you go find out.
I think they, well, I mean, my lot, because they, I mean, you know, they've been home educating from the off, so that's just what they do.
Yes.
So whereas somebody in the shop, oh, no school today, and they'll just be like, oh, no, we're home educated, it's not, you know, like, it's fine. Whereas I still get all, oh, you know, like, if I'm being brave, I'll be like, oh, no, we're home educated. And if I'm just don't want the conversation, it's like, oh, no, it's not. Oh, well, you know, it's just one of those days, you know.
Yeah, get out of the shop as quick as I can.
Exactly. Don't ask me questions. I don't want to justify anything today.
I know, that's it, isn't it?
What was I going to say? So what was a typical day in the life of your home educating family?
Well, when I was thinking about this one, I thought, gosh, it is so varied. I mean, for a start, like with my husband's shifts, like weeks are so different anyway. So depending on whether he's here or not, depends sometimes what we do. I would say depends on the season. You know, if it's rubbish, it changes so much to when it's nice.
Yeah.
You know, spring, summer, we're often out in the garden. We like to grow a lot of our own stuff. And my daughter just loves gardening. She is like an avid gardener. She loves to weed.
Watch out. Brilliant.
I know, I hate weeding. Hate it with a passion. She loves it with a passion. So she can stick around till she's well into her 40s ish. So on like those months, if the weather's nice like it was last year, you know, a lot of things get forgotten and we're out there. And well, you learn so much out there anyway, yeah, don't you?
Totally.
But I suppose for us, we class ourselves sort of as Charlotte Mason kind of home educators.
Yeah.
So we kind of are very varied anyway, because I suppose the Charlotte Mason theory is that, and philosophy is that you present a feast to your child of ideas over a week, and then they sort of chew on that and then they find their own connections. So it's kind of, yeah, it's varied. I mean, we have a standard, like I try to get up first in the morning. I didn't for the first year or so of home educating, and that was just a disaster. Getting up at the same time as her or just even afterwards was always a bit chasing my tail a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't feel I ever got that time to myself, which I've realised I do need. So I do get up ahead of her most mornings. I like to go up between 5:30 and 6:00, and like I like to read, I like to exercise, I like to get some jobs done, you know, just start my day well. And then she wakes up. She doesn't usually get up to around 7, 8, 9 on a good morning. And I say a good morning just because it gives me, you know, that bit longer just to like, I don't know, just to ease into the day.
Yeah, totally.
And then she doesn't like to eat straight away. She's very much like she likes to play, or she likes to watch out the window. Her bedroom looks over the back garden, and we have a lot of bird feeders, and she loves to watch those and everything that's going on. So our morning does start quite slowly, and there's no real schedule to our day. We don't schedule. We kind of have a rhythm, but no schedule. So we kind of just, she takes her time before breakfast. Sometimes it could be half an hour, sometimes it could be an hour and a half. And I'm still like, now we need to eat now. Like, it's getting on now. I need to feel like we've done something today. So, and then usually after breakfast, we like to read together. Sometimes during breakfast, but after breakfast, we like to just sit down, grab a few of books of, I don't know, it might be something linked to like an artist or, I don't know, a bit of geography, all sorts. You know, we love living books. So, you know, for us, reading is just a big part of it. So we'll sit and read, and then she kind of goes off and does a bit on her own. She likes to be independent as well. She likes that bit of independence now. And I suppose because she can read well at this stage, even though she's only 7, she can do that bit more independently. So at the beginning of the week, we kind of write down what that week we're hoping to kind of cover in chapters of books that we're working through for like history and whatever. And so she'll go off and read those. Sometimes she'll come and read them to me. She'll go and read them on her own. She'll read them to her daddy if he's here. If she's not reading to us, she comes and narrates. So she comes and tells us what she's read and stuff like that. So it's very much in and out all over the house. There's no sort of one room we use, I guess. And then she'll do maths again, sometimes on her own. She doesn't want any help. She doesn't want you to be involved at all. Don't be in her vicinity when she's doing it.
Yeah.
And help you, you're in trouble. Other times she wants you to sit down and do it with her. So like that kind of varies as well. And she loves to do copy work. My child is obsessed with copying out of books.
Wow.
She just loves it. And she's loved it before I understood what copy work was. Before I ever found out, she's always copied. She used to get her Beatrix Potter books out.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to imagine, she used to dress up like she was Beatrix Potter. And she used to go and sit and put a little table together, and she'd get her books, and then she'd write them out as letters like Beatrix did in the early days before she wrote the books. And she would copy and do it that
way. That's so lovely.
It's just one of those things that just those moments you think, that's what it's meant to be like. And you know, it's like Charlotte Mason, but it's actually unschooling. It's like, it was beautiful. And so she loves that. She'll sit as I read to her at night and she'll like, can I copy? And I'm like, yeah, you can sit and look over my shoulder and copy it out. So she'll do copy work that I ask her because I want her really to focus and,
yeah,
you know, do, because I think it really is a good start for writing.
Yeah.
But also she just loves to do it herself. So she might do it 3 times a day. you'll always find her with a notebook and a pencil in hand doing something like that. So yeah, we pretty much, that's our day really. It's reading. Mm-hmm. Lots of reading, yeah, and lots of like copy work for her. And then we're usually done by lunchtime with that kind of stuff. And she, you know, she takes breaks throughout that. She'll be, yeah, moving around, out in and out the house, dancing, you know, she adores dancing. And then after lunch, it's kind of like her time to completely discover anything she wants to discover. She's read something that day that she wants to find out more about, or you know, she wants to build something with a Lego, just anything, you know. It's her free time to enjoy. We often bake or go out for a walk, or, and if it's a Thursday that daddy's off, well, it has to be poetry tea time. That's a must. She insists that it's poetry tea time, so we have to bake in the morning with daddy, and then
right,
all ready for tea time to have our little poetry tea time. So yeah, our days, and then we read, always read before bed as well. So
yeah,
sounds like all we do really all day is read. Pretty much do. I mean, don't get me wrong, we go out a lot, yeah, as well, you know, there's we do a lot of other stuff, but yes, that's our days probably. I don't know, I suppose I don't know what a lot of people's days are like, so I don't know if it's typical or not.
I think in a way it kind of doesn't matter. Like if it works, yeah, you know what I mean? If it works for you,
that's it.
Then what you do that works for you is the right fit for you, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's going on for home educators in your area?
Lots. I have, yeah, to say, we are very lucky. And I don't even know how I came across the local Facebook page. I must have just searched, I guess, because I hadn't met anyone, because the friend that I did go to school with doesn't live locally anymore, yeah, you know, in the immediate vicinity. So I'm not quite sure how I found them, but there is a Facebook page or group. And yeah, there's just so much going on. Like Tuesday, was it? We were at the cinema watching Dumbo. There's often park meets and, you know, walks in the woods and things like that. There's often workshops at places like Pizza Express. Mm. There's a local chocolate place that does workshops that they go to a lot. Museums, we often go on museum workshops, or just sort of like we'll all agree to just go together.
Yeah.
Trampolining, there's what else is there? Swimming, sports, basketball, French and Spanish, you know, creative writing, craft sessions, a social group once a month. There's just so much going on. Like you could literally be out all day every day at, yeah, something.
Yeah.
It could be just non-stop. I mean, we don't, because for little lady that doesn't suit, you know, she can't cope with too much socialization, you know. Everyone worries about the socialization aspect, but she can't do too much of it, or she'd be like absolutely like, yeah. But there is just so much going on. It's just fantastic. And she's just actually about to start a drama. I mean, she dances anyway, but they've now agreed a home ed one at one of the sort of dance and stage schools in the local town. And so one afternoon a week they're all going to go for 2 hours and do sort of dance and drama and acrobatic stuff.
Oh, wow, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I can't wait. Starting after Easter, right through till the end of summer term, which are,
oh, brilliant,
as a trial, and hopefully, yeah, it'll carry on, because it's fantastic, you know. Great opportunities, really. You know, everyone thinks, oh, well, once you take them out of school, they miss out on so much. Oh, there's so much going on.
They just don't realise what's out there.
No, and I mean, I didn't. No. It's all like a secret community that goes on that no one knows about, isn't it?
I guess it's not on my question list, but you were saying about parenting a lone child.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just wanted to go a little bit back to that.
Yeah.
Because it seems to me what you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, that home educating is giving your family the space that allows your daughter to be like to have to be comfortable. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To learn how she wants to learn.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, in a calm environment. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot, because there's so much going on in your community, you can choose to do the stuff she's interested in and be around other people at a level she can handle.
That's totally right. You've hit the nail on the head there. Yeah, because for her in school, you know, and yes, in school, she would get those kids that she doesn't have at home, because she doesn't have those other kids during the day to, yes, fight with, but also to bounce off and, you know, have that sort of social aspect and create a friendship with your siblings. She doesn't have that. I mean, she does have the dancing that she's always gone to, that she's created friends over the years and things like that. But yeah, for her, she can't deal with that aspect of school where there's so many people and that intense environment all the time. It's just too much. So yeah, it gives her the space to learn and do the things she wants to do. But yes, she can tap in whenever she wants to these different activities, and yet nothing really massively requires a long-term commitment apart from like the drama dancing that's coming up. And even then you could pick which sessions you went to.
Yeah.
We just chose to do the whole lot because we know she loves it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's nothing that requires her to commit all the time. So we can jump in and jump out. Like during the autumn winter, we don't get involved in as much with our home ed community, just because for her, a lot of it's indoors then, and places can get noisy, and a lot of it's like meeting in places like soft play, and she can't cope with that. It's not a thing. So we can literally almost disappear for like 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
And then reappear, and we're still welcomed. She's still, the friends still accept her. There's no like, well, you've been gone. And, you know, we all remember school playgrounds. You know, if you didn't play with someone for a day or two, that was it, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You were kind of like, well, how dare you want to play now? But, you know, she can just, she can jump back in and they all accept her with open arms and carry on again, you know. So, yeah, it is. And she does need that, I think, as well as even if she didn't have any issues, any special needs, then she would still need, she would need other people, because otherwise she'd just be stuck with those adults all the time, and you know, that's not good for any child.
But I guess the thing is, that like if you had a child who was very outgoing or very like extrovert or whatever, there's so much going on. And there's so much going on that gives them the opportunity to try things and to do things and to practice skills and learn different skills or whatever. Mm-hmm. That you, I guess my point is, you could still home educate, you know, and you know, a lone extrovert kid. You'd just be going out a lot, and you just have to manage your budget more, basically. Yes. But you wouldn't be the only person trying to do a thing. You would bound loads of people, and then you become friends, and then you have play dates, and there's, and then all, and then you set up stuff with them.
Yes. And as, and if it had been me being home educated years ago, that's what I would have needed.
Yeah.
You know, I was that kid that I was an only, I am an only child. I haven't changed. I'm still an only child. But I needed a lot of people around me. I wouldn't know if I was extroverted. Maybe. I don't know. No one thinks it. Just more like I needed people around me.
Yeah.
I like my own space as an adult. But as a child, I loved being around people. Yeah. Absolutely loved it. So, yeah, it would have been like, and it is, it's perfect. Because as you say, you know, you can be doing it alongside others instead of just us. And I think people think it's just us a lot of the time. Yeah. They worry family and friends, because she's an only child, that she's just on her own with adults all the time, which just is not the case.
No.
At all.
Yeah, I think you know, I wanted just to be able to just touch on that myth, essentially. That like, if he was a lone child, then they'll just never see anybody. It's like, they can see as many people, frankly, as they want to.
Exactly. They're like hermits, and that they'll suddenly appear in the world in like, you know, another 11 years time or whatever, and be like, whoa, I didn't know this world existed, kind of thing. And it's like, we're not like that at all.
Well, no, and also like, I think the home educated kids, they exist in the real world. Yes. Do you know what I mean? In a way, far more than a child who goes into a classroom. Totally. And it's just around the same, you know, the same 29, 30 other kids, yeah. potentially for years on end. Like, yes. you know, they're the people, you know, home ed kids are out, you know, talking to librarians because they're changing their library books again. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And dealing with lots of different instructors and teachers and other people's parents who are running this group. And,
yes,
you know,
exactly. I think it's such an important skill for life that they can communicate with people of different ages and work with people of different ages for different purposes
yeah.
in a way that, you know, their sort of peers aren't necessarily going to be able to when they've been in school, because it is quite a sheltered existence, which they think ours is, interestingly enough.
Yes.
Which baffles me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so true.
Do you have any resource recommendations?
Oh gosh. I think over the last couple of years I have, like, and I haven't found every resource, but you know, when you just yes. like, I've seen so many and been through so many, and yeah, I mean and this is always a bit of a controversial one I find at times with people, because there's some people are very anti, like, worksheets or anything related to worksheets, but people can remember Little Lady was in nursery and school for a period of time. You know, she was there basically, hang on, was she there 3 to 4? So yeah, so nearly 2 years basically
yeah.
in the education system. So for her, worksheets are kind of something she's used to.
Yeah.
And so I'm not necessarily against them, I'm not necessarily for them. I think it's each to their own, but she very much likes them every now and then. You know, I don't like death by worksheet, you know, I saw that in the education system. But so I know it can be a bit of a controversial one, but we quite like Twinkle. We use yeah. Twinkle, you know, we do pick things off there, find useful, even crafty bits and stuff, you know. So Twinkle is one that I would always say for people to go and have a look at. It's, I know it can be a bit of a hard to navigate of which package you'd want if yeah. you go to road. I think they make it harder every time.
Oh, really?
But yeah, I think so, because they always seem to change the packages, so what you had last time doesn't seem to exist anymore, and they've changed it.
Yeah,
but I do think certainly for someone starting out, it's quite a useful place to go, just to, when you're finding your feet.
Yeah,
and that's absolutely. When I found it, because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether I had to follow the national curriculum or not, so it was just then. It always gives me an idea of kind of what's going on in here.
Yeah.
Peers, so that if something, God forbid, happened that I had to send her back for whatever reason
yeah.
to school, I know what's going on there, if you get what I mean. So yeah, that's it. It's a useful one, but kind of pick and choose what you like from it. I mean, Julie Bogart, I would recommend anyone to go and follow. Yeah. I don't know if you've across her. Yes, say she is an American homeschooler, so yes, her experience is different, but she's graduated 5 kids through home education, so she is a wealth of knowledge. And she's got a blog, she's got a podcast, she's got Facebook Live videos, she's got, you know, the Homeschool Alliance, which is like a coaching program for parents. I'm not part of that, but I hear it's very good, and that might yeah. suit some, you know. But her books as well, have you read The Brave Learner?
I have.
Oh, just fantastic, isn't
it's
it, you know,
so good.
It just, so many things that you go, oh, I do that, that's great. Or other things that go, wow, I hadn't even thought of that. Like, how amazing. So I would recommend anyone to just follow her on social media, or go and find her on YouTube, or
yeah,
you know, read The Brave Learner. It's just, she is just a wealth of knowledge. And it doesn't matter what style of home educating you do.
Yeah.
She covers it all, you know.
She just really motivates you.
Doesn't she?
Yeah, and she's just, you know, when she tells you, look, you can do this and you are doing it, you're like, you know, even if it's, you know, you're one of thousands of people watching a YouTube video, you're like, yeah, Julie, thanks for that. I needed
yeah.
that.
It's almost like she's your friend, isn't it? And
yeah.
she just a cup of tea together. And yeah, and she's never patronising or condescending. There's no, like, feeling. No. Like, oh, I'm not doing it right. Like, she's so, like, totally a champion
yeah.
for parents, you know. I just think, yeah, she's fantastic. If you don't ever look at anybody else, she's great. I So what other things do I use? Obviously, because I'm Charlotte Mason sort of that way inclined.
Yep.
I obviously read the Charlotte Mason volumes. She'd written 6 volumes. So I've read number 1 of those so far and read it numerous times. So I now need to get to number 2, but I just love reading it over and over again. It's so helpful.
Yeah.
So for that, I also obviously, I don't follow Ambleside online, but they're a great book list. And simply Charlotte Mason, get your words out.
Yes.
That's another place I've kind of looked. Read Aloud Revival, Sarah McKenzie. Oh, she's just fantastic as well. Yeah. You know, because we love reading aloud, she's just fantastic as well. And her books, I haven't read Teaching from Rest because it's not easy to get here in paper.
No, it's format. Not.
You can get it on the Kindle, but and I do read some on the Kindle, but I do like a good paperback, and so I might have to give in and get it on the Kindle because I believe that's fantastic. But I am reading her Read Aloud Family.
Yes, I've read that. It's very good.
That's very good. But actual resources, you say, I don't know, because we use just books basically. We just read lots of stories.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't particularly have. I could give you a long list, but I'd be here forever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, totally.
I literally would be here forever with sort of resources, but I just feel as long as you've got like something they can draw on, something they can write in,
yeah,
and books to read, the rest
you're set basically.
Yeah, you'll find it as you go along, and you come across things as you talk to other home educators locally or as you're online. So yeah, they'd be kind of my people. And I suppose, again, because I'm a Charlotte Mason-y kind of person, Leah Bowden, who you had on your final episode of your last lot of podcasts. She's just brilliant, you know. And again, even if you're not Charlotte Mason sort of style and you're an unschooler or you're a unit study, she's got a lot to say, a lot of wisdom on home educating, having been doing it for a number of years with, you know, all her kids. So yeah, she's always someone to look up.
Well, she's she and other people she's known are doing a lot of work on like modernizing and finding nice versions of living books so that when, you know, not everybody's stuck, you know. I mean, there are some older books that we've read and really enjoyed, but that, you know, you could use modern books as well.
Yeah.
Just as effective, which.
That's it.
It's a, you know, she's, yeah, that work is a complete godsend.
She is. She's a breath of fresh air in that sense. Because as you say, some of those books, if nothing else, they're a bit, I suppose, in our times, some of those old books, politically incorrect. And you have to skip bits and stuff like that. Whereas if you can find more modern ones that fit and our kids can relate to, you know. Saying that, my daughter absolutely adores all the classics. And absolutely, you know, reads them over again. But yeah, she is fantastic. So that, I guess they're my recommendations for sort of places to go for a bit of information and help.
Do you have any read aloud book recs?
Oh.
Pared down to like, you know, a manageable list.
I mean, we're at the moment reading Narnia, you know, from start to finish, one after the other. And I don't think that's how I read them as a child, to be perfectly honest.
No.
I think I just dipped in and out here and there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I read them in order. I don't think I even knew the order because all my books weren't part of one series. I had different books from different publishers. So we're reading those again and I'd forgotten how much I loved them. But I see them in a different, obviously as an adult, you read it very differently, which is quite interesting. And we've just got the old BBC series.
Oh, yes.
We've just got those on DVD. Oh, Little Lady got those for Christmas, so we're now able to watch those. I loved those.
They were amazing.
That reminds me of Sunday night TV.
Yes.
When I was a kid, when it was good. So I suppose Narnia, but everyone knows about Narnia, I suppose. I don't think I've got any that anyone wouldn't know about. I mean, the Who Was series. And who, what was, and all those. So, like, who was, she's reading at the moment, who was George Washington? You know, so those kind of books with loads of historical figures and historical monuments they cover and things that have happened in history. And some people, I've heard some people say, you know, they're not written very well or they're not the greatest. She loves them.
Yeah.
And she learns so much from them and she's fascinated by them that I think, and they're pretty reasonably priced, all of them as well. If you go on Amazon, you know, you're talking about maybe £4 a book, you know.
Yeah.
So, and we love those. And I wouldn't necessarily say they were read alouds, but certainly for her, they're great. And I suppose you could read aloud because if your kid, mine's such a competent reader, but I don't need to.
Yeah.
Such I read the more sort of difficult classics, I suppose.
Yeah.
She loves the Magic Treehouse books, which are American, and I know people might cringe at those. No, they're not necessarily the greatest literature, but they're fun and they cover so much of history as well. So I would definitely recommend those. I don't know if you've heard of Zoe's Rescue Zoo. Again, I guess probably in the last couple of years they've come out there. Each one is, it's a little girl who lives with her mother and I think it's her uncle, and he runs a rescue zoo, basically. He rescues these animals and she helps, and each book is about a different animal. But actually, when I got into reading one, she brought it to show me about, we were learning about penguins, and she brought the penguin book. And actually, having read some of the non-fiction books and then read that, I was like, oh gosh, it really is quite factually accurate and very well written. So, and I'm stupidly, I didn't bring a book down. I can't remember who wrote them now.
I'll look it up. It'll be in the show notes.
Fabulous. But they're quite good. I mean, I would think that boys would be interested as well, unless, I don't know, but certainly I think they're a great series of books, and there is quite a series of them. There must be 15 or 20 of them.
Oh, cool.
And then obviously it's the usual Beatrix Potter and Brambley Hedge and...
Oh, Brambley Hedge.
I know. They were my favourites as a kid. I just adored them. So we have those. And a book I hadn't read till recently, and again, it's a classic, so everyone will know it, but Heidi, I never read it as a child.
Yes. Oh. We read it this winter. And I never, I remember the TV version.
Yeah, I saw some of that.
German one that they dubbed into English when I was really little. Yeah. And I remember we had like a really abridged copy, but I'd never read the actual book. And yes, we read it this winter. It's lovely. Oh,
isn't it? It's just so beautiful. Just so beautiful. And she just loved it. Absolutely loved it. And then her other big favourites are Secret Seven.
Yes.
We often all have to be characters of Secret Seven and have meetings and stuff. Yes. And Little Women. She has read Little Women numerous times. I read it to her first, and now she reads it. She loves it. So, yeah, I guess I don't have any new exciting ones, unfortunately. Like, I'm a bit rubbish on that one. They're all sort of ones everyone's heard of, but just I don't think should be skipped.
No. I think the nice thing about being a parent, never mind a home educated parent, is there are so many books I meant to read as a kid. Or was told to read as a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know, I was a bit intimidated by. And so I do them as read alouds and I get to enjoy them as well.
That's it, isn't it? That is exactly it. Yeah. Because I think I was probably exactly the same. I just thought, oh no, I couldn't read that, or oh, I don't think I like it. And now, yeah, you get to experience them and pass that sort of experience on to your child without them feeling the intimidation we felt with them.
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
There's a good book, actually, that I would recommend if you're saying about Heidi. We read a book that is, it's Norwegian and was translated into English, called Astrid the Unstoppable.
Did you do a post on that?
I did.
I think I saw that, yes.
and the reason it links to Heidi, even though it's Norwegian and not Swiss, is... Heidi, the book, is really important to other characters in the story, and then Astrid, the main character, reads it during the book, during the story. Oh. And we get to see parallels of Heidi's story in some of the other characters, in some of the side characters that are going on, as Astrid is kind of, she's working out what these relationships between these other characters are, because she's not being explicitly told them. At least in the beginning. And it's really good. Like, it's a good sort of rompy, like an Astrid Lindgren book.
Oh,
modern.
Fantastic.
And but if you know Heidi, we read it afterwards because we kind of went, oh, well, we should read that if she's reading it in the book. Yeah, you get to see all these interesting parallels.
Oh, well, that's a must
So
read.
there's a
That,
rec for everybody.
yes, that's going on our list for sure, because yeah, I think that would just be up her street completely,
Yeah, well,
because,
it just allows them to make all of these connections
well, that's it, without you
without
kind
you having to say, "And did you notice this thing?"
of, yeah, exactly. They just can do that themselves, can't they? Because they just get, oh, that sounds perfect. I've written
Excellent.
that one down.
Excellent. Always happy to give a rec. So, I have a new question. I have a new question. What would you want someone who doesn't home educate to know about home education?
Gosh, there's it's such a it's a hard thing sometimes to help people to understand, isn't it? And to know what to say that make it clear what we do and what it what home education is. What would I want to say to someone? That it's not scary.
Yeah.
That it's not scary. Whether they're someone who is looking into home education and wondering if it's for them and their family, whether they can do it, it's not as scary as it seems. That, you know, and I know people will often think and say to me, but you're a teacher, you were trained to do this. So of course, I would say it makes no difference whatsoever, really, because when I watch my husband home educate her, because he's so involved in her home education with working these shifts, he is here a lot during the week. I watch him do it and he does it effortlessly. And he has no teaching qualifications. He has no, like he always used to say to me, "I don't know how you teach. I don't have the patience." You know, and I watch him and he does it so effortlessly because it is just what we've done with our kids from the days the moment they were born. You know, you've always been imparting that knowledge and trying to show them what the world is all about and to help them discover for themselves. So I would say, one, it's not that scary. And even if you're someone who doesn't want to home educate, but you're looking at the home educating world because it's in the media a lot at the moment, there's a lot going on about it. It's not scary. We're not scary. We're not strange. We're not different. We just have a different way of educating our children. For so many different reasons, you know, and particularly it's probably I would say I'm the unlikely home educator. That if anyone had looked at me through my life, or even up until we made that decision, I was not the person you would ever would have thought. And yes, there's lots of own peoples, and there's probably lots you wouldn't, but I'm totally not the person you would have thought would home educate. You know, I was a teacher. I'd gone right through education, through higher education. You know, I'd always followed the rules. I stuck inside everything rule-wise. I was down the straight. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
I was not one of these people that had ever done anything adventurous, or I'd never taken a gap year. You know, all those things that in hindsight I wish I'd done, but I just wasn't that brave or that adventurous. So, you know, we're not all scary and different. We're just parents trying to do the best for our children, like anybody else, and that actually it's a fantastic adventure.
Oh, yeah.
And if you even think about trying it, give it a go. It's just worth it. You know, it really is worth it. And also, I think that you cannot judge one person that home educates against another. Like, you can't think because you've met people at home educate and maybe you didn't like the way they home educated, or you didn't like their style, or you just didn't gel as people. It doesn't mean we're all the same. It's like any other walk of life. We're very different. Suppose
Thank
that's
you. Thank you so
my
much
thing.
for coming on today. It's been
No, thank you for
fantastic.
having me. It's been just so lovely to chat and to just be able to share a bit about us.
Where can people find you online?
At the moment, I am confined really on Instagram. We're rainbows underscore and underscore wellies. Other than that, that's really it. One day I'd like to start a blog, but that's just not happened as yet. I hope it will one day, but at the moment we're there, and I don't do anything amazing. I don't create any amazing content like you do with this
I
podcast
disagree.
or
I
anything.
completely disagree.
I just share what we do, and I just I want to make people feel that, I don't know, that we're approachable and it's a doable thing if you want to do it. And yeah, so that's where I am. I'm just at Rainbows and Wellies, which always confuses people.
It's the underscores. It makes it, yeah. We were saying this earlier, didn't we? It makes it easy to read.
That does.
And
that
hard
does.
To spell out.
Yes. And a very unusual name.
Right. Now, the thing is, no, I completely disagree, because your photography is beautiful. Your photography is so good. And then you write these, you know, there are the sort of, and we went off and did this, which everybody does. But yeah. Then you write these heartfelt posts. Like, you wrote the post about, like, men who home educate, about all the different things that your husband does. And also, like, I really appreciate that you took the time to say that, you know, not every home educating family has men in it. But it's not always a dad. Sometimes it's a granddad or an uncle or whatever. But, you know, like, look at the contribution that these men make.
Yeah.
And all the things that your husband does. And that was, you know, it was really, I don't know, it was really inspiring and heartfelt and stuff. So don't believe this kind of, oh, it's just our everyday life. It's not. Good stuff in there, and you should be following it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming.
No, thank really you, Kate.
And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things that we talk about in this episode, or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes on the blog at learninginanoxfordkitchen.co.uk and click on the link to the Home Ed Voices podcast, or follow the link on Instagram at Home Ed Voices podcast, or Twitter at Home Ed Voices. This is episode 13. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcasts, as it helps more people to find out about it. The Home Ed Voices podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Hanrot. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by C-Stock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher or anywhere else where podcasts are found. I'll be back with episode 14 in 2 weeks, and until then, it's to more Home Ed Adventures.